the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
A Nickelodeon original podcast.
Did you know you can get bonus episodes of Avatar Braving the Elements? Subscribe to Avatar Braving the Elements Premium
on Apple Podcasts for early access, extra episodes, and ad-free listening. Just $2.99 a month. Hello, friends, benders and non-benders alike. Welcome to Braving the Elements, Nickelodeon's podcast about all things Avatarverse. I'm Janet Varney.
And I'm Dante Bosco. And I'm not going to do the whole song and dance thing before we bring on our next guest, because we know what the people want. And the people want Jack DeSena.
Yeah! The people want Jack DeSena.
The people's champion.
What's happening, folks?
What's happening?
I just want to give you a huge shout out for making the number one sign so close to your head to make sure that the camera would catch it.
You know,
be out here.
No,
you gave it right here.
I've done enough commercial work in my day to get the product right in the frame. Read the book at an unnaturally high level, so it's clear. Yeah,
we know.
Yeah,
always.
That's why we bring in
like
the pro.
This.
Yeah.
Oh, very excited to do all these sight gags now that we've got a video podcast.
Oh, yes, friend, yes.
Have you guys been doing a
we
lot
haven't even
of
cracked
prop
that
humor?
Open yet. We have not gone heavy into prop humor. I have gone way overboard with my ensembles. I'm wearing the Sokka's Cactus
shirt.
And it's cold in here, so I'm also wearing
this
sweatshirt. Overkill? You bet. Going to back off it? Not a chance.
That's nice. I like how you can represent other, you know, elements.
Yeah, very open. Dante is exclusively Fire Nation.
He refuses to
wear anything that's Fire Nation.
Fire Nation
all day, every day over here, you guys. Welcome to a Water Tribe member, Jack DeSena, the voice
of Sokka. Yeah, but today I'm doing sort of like a Fire Nation Italian
and we appreciate
bowling
it.
Dad.
And we appreciate it. We appreciate it.
Yeah, everybody rocks the Fire Nation garb very nicely. It's very impressive.
And I see a lot of Fire Nation cosplayers playing Sokka, Katara, Fire Nation when they come to meet me at cons. And I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you guys representing the Fire Nation. It looks good on you.
You see a lot? You see a lot?
A good amount.
This is a go-to costume. This is the
I've
standard.
Seen quite a few Fire Nation Katara's out there.
Yeah, I'm just giving you a hard
not
time.
Not a lot of Sokka's.
No. I have said, though, if I were to ever do a Sokka cosplay, as I have been pressured to do by you specifically, I would do Wang Fire. I would do his Fire Nation full beard look.
I would love that.
Someday.
We just watched that episode,
And
you were brilliant in the Wang Fire. Wang Fire was fire.
We made special mention of it because your performance was so good that the animators animated spittle coming out of angry Wang Fire's mouth. It was extremely satisfying. It was so funny.
A thing that makes me laugh about the choices we made with Sokka in that episode is who is he doing? Why does he have a British accent? Who is he?
I don't know.
No one else in this world. The Fire Nation does not have. We have never seen some very wealthy Fire Nation outposts where they all have British accents. That's not a thing. He has fully invented this accent.
Don't you worry, Mr. Headmaster. I'll straighten this boy out something fierce.
I said it reminded me of Ferris Bueller's Day Off when young Ferris is imitating Cameron's British father.
Yeah.
I also don't know if he had a British father, but he made him British for sure.
Yeah, no, we just, when we watched The Painted Lady, we said it seemed like Katara was sort of doing the mid-Atlantic, Catherine Hepburn accent when she was trying to. So that's an understood thing. If you want to seem legit, even in the Avatarverse, you try to put on a special fancy pants accent.
Regal
for people
about
outside
that.
Of America, understand that Americans, when we try to get a little fancy, we start to act British. That's all we do.
I guess so. It's a very effective. It's very funny. I love that episode. I love this episode. It's such a no-brainer that we would bring you in for Sokka's master.
Yeah.
It's a very Sokka-centric episode. Yeah. With the exception of these like wonderful little slivers of Uncle Iroh becoming a demigod.
Iroh runner. So cool. So cool.
Uncle Iroh is getting... And he's outsmarting everybody in the interim.
Yes, it is.
He's up to... He's up to some shenanigans, some really good things, and it's
impressive. A very clever crosscut in this episode because to basically do like two sort of training montages, and it does an interesting thing with time in this episode because the whole thing takes place in like a day, but because you're crosscutting two montages,
when we talk
it feels
about
like
that later on,
like,
I was going to say
like,
the same thing.
It's been a long
y'all.
Day. I was like, a day?
Yeah,
what? It's been a good training for a day. What?
Yeah,
it was a record scratch for me too. I was like, wait, what? I almost like went back. I was almost like, no, I'm sure they established that it was more than one day. Nope.
But they don't have a lot of time, as we know from the previous episode, which, you know, Sokka telling everybody how much time we do not have to in order to get there in time for our 8-minute window in the eclipse. So it makes sense that this is only a day. You know, when you're on the road trip, you can't be stopping in towns for like longer than a lunch or it gets crazy. It gets hairy.
Check out this giant tube of dental floss for one
just
1 hour.
World's biggest? How could we not look at it? Come
world's
on.
Largest tube of dental floss.
I will say, now that you're bringing this up, for a person who in the very last episode could not wait to keep the machine rolling in the very next episode, he's like, I'll hike to the top of a mountain. Sure, I'll invest
quick stop.
The whole rest of my life in this.
Yeah.
Yes, so we are in the fourth episode of The Book of Fire, and we all know we're in the Fire Nation. And in the last episode, Aang had his own little sidetrack, and he got some schooling, got to school for a little bit, and Katara helped save the village in the Painted Lady episode. Now Sokka's going to have a little detour, I guess, of his own. But rest assured, everyone's rocking them sweet Fire Nation outfits through this whole thing.
I hope that makes you feel better too, buddy, because I do feel like I need to point out this is not a Zuko-heavy episode. Like, he's not in it at all.
Heavy? Zuko's not in it at all.
He is completely
absent.
I mean, what
is going on?
We feel your pain. I think that Jack and
But where Iroh is, Zuko is somewhere.
Okay, you can say that, but we both know.
I am saying it.
And Jack and I want to tell you.
Yeah.
That's rough, buddy.
That's rough, buddy.
No, Zuko.
Yes,
that's
rough,
buddy.
Sorry.
No, Zuko's okay. It's all right. It's all right.
Yeah. You're going to be okay.
It's okay.
You're going to be okay.
Creativity, versatility, intelligence. These are the traits that define a great swordsman. And these are the traits that define you. You told me you didn't know if you were worthy. But I believe you are more worthy than any man I have ever trained.
In this ep, we get to see Sokka learn some incredibly cool sword fighting moves from a man who agrees to become his teacher. And as we mentioned before, we also see Iroh transforming. This awesome episode is written by our friend Tim Hendrick and directed by our other good friend, Giancarlo Volpe.
Yes, and we have Robert Patrick as Pian Dao. Whew, that's an exciting get, but we'll talk more about that as well. Exciting get. So this episode begins with the gang, well, almost all of the gang, watching a meteor shower. Classic Toph line with...
You've seen nothing once, you've seen it 1,000 times.
Amazing. They continue to be zingers. I love it. And then suddenly one of the meteors heads their direction, like past them, and then just explodes into the valley in the near distance, causing this huge fire that is like immediately threatening a town. This episode comes in hot, literally. Katara and Appa head off to bring some water from a lake to try to put out the fire. Toph and Aang are earthbending trenches to keep the fire contained. Sokka, of course, doing his part by babysitting Momo. So, you know, success on all sides. And then we very quickly just, yeah, I know, it's a wah-wah. It's from his perspective. It's from
it's
his perspective.
It's an emotional moment for him. It's not necessarily fully rational that he thinks he needs to be important in that moment, you know?
I know.
Yes, and it's representational of
this
like,
is the third season, Sokka. You've been doing a lot in the adventure. Now you're feeling like this?
Yeah, but he's been feeling, I think there's been a little bit of this the whole time. I mean, to me, this is sort of like a core part of the character that starts back, like that first scene is him sort of feeling weird about his sister having these abilities and him not having it. And there's there's all of that right from the beginning. So this is sort of, why is it a breaking point right now?
Oh, it's true. I do have that feeling when people talk about non-benders, I always forget, oh yeah, non-benders.
Yeah.
I do have that moment.
It's tough out there.
And I forget that we have a non-bender with us through the whole story. But you've been with us the whole time, and I forget.
But
that.
He's
and
so invaluable.
Our bad.
You forget that he's not a bender. He's so invaluable and genius. You forget.
Right.
Like, of course he has powers. Yeah, and he does
we
have
don't think
powers.
Of you There's as not... a non-bender, Sokka.
Exactly.
We don't think of you as a non-bender.
Okay, but even
you...
saying that is a little troubling.
Yeah, it is troubling. You're right. That's bad. You can be a proud non-bender.
I didn't mean it like that.
We're working on it.
I'm
working on it.
I didn't mean it like that.
Okay,
no, you're right.
All right, just
my boy.
Yeah.
It's not good. It's not good. No, you're right. You're right. And you're right. And I would say, to your point, Jack, like, this is a moment where you really see.
I tell people, my best friend is a non-bender, okay?
Don't do it. Don't you
don't
do that.
Don't do that.
Don't you
do
that.
Zuko,
it doesn't
don't
help
do that.
Like you. It
don't
doesn't do help like you think it helps. It doesn't help like you think it helps. No, but like this is a moment where the entire gang is doing something together, where all forms of bending are incorporated. They're working in tandem in harmony to try to avert this disaster. That would be a moment. It's one thing when like Aang is doing a thing and everyone's watching, or like Katara's off waterbending. But when it's like everyone you're with is helping with bending and you can't, and it's you in moment,
and you're
I get it.
Scuttling around the outside of like a legitimate crisis.
Sokka, you put some fires out. You're putting
some
fires out.
That's true.
You,
some fires got put out.
You're putting some fires out.
Okay, so then we go quickly over to the prison and we're looking at what seems like a very just fragile and desperate Iroh as he's scrambling to eat this tiny bowl of rice that a rude guard brings him. But things aren't always what they seem in that department. Meanwhile, in the Fire Nation town that Team Avatar has just saved, the gang has a meal and tries to make Sokka feel better about how useless he says he sometimes feels. Katara has an idea.
Shopping!
Sure.
Sokka was into it.
Was into it. Retail therapy.
I've also been into it myself. I mean, shopping doesn't sound bad right now.
Has completely lost focus after spending a whole episode hammering the timeline. But, you know, he's a little depressed and he needs to
look,
cheer
they're
up.
They're on the road trip. There's an outlet mall. We got to stop off at the outlet mall. Yeah. There might be a good deal there. What
and
shops
then
they
right
have in this outlet mall?
Behind the mall, if there's so much dental floss, are we just going to keep going or should we?
No, we're going to detour. Don't be crazy. So they go shopping. Sokka's kind of fumbling with some spears. No offense. Katara's trying on gloves for some reason.
Nice gloves. Very nice gloves.
Aang tries on this incredible suit of armor, which many of you already know this. It's an amazing, crazy suit. Aang is still over in the sword and weapons area, kind of trying everything out. And then suddenly he sees it. It's this glorious sword with this ornate design.
That's what Sokka's talking about.
You have a good eye. That's an original from Pien Dao, the greatest sword master and sword maker in Fire Nation history. He lives in the big castle up the road from here.
And then Aang has the revelation that Sokka needs a teacher, just as each one of them has had. He needs a master. Maybe Pien Dao could turn Sokka into an expert swordsmaster. And then we very quickly go back to the prison where Iroh is just, he's doing sit-ups. You know what I mean? He's working out.
Yeah.
Well, more can I tell you? We're going to find out more soon.
So Sokka's made it to Pien Dao's castle, where he finds out that Pien Dao turns away nearly everyone who ever tries to come and study with him. And apparently Sokka should have brought a gift to prove his worth. But he's confronted with Pien Dao's disinterest. And basically, he asks Sokka to impress him. And Sokka explains that while he has traveled the whole world, he's not really sure he is worthy of Pien Dao's mentorship.
It's a great answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Humility.
Humble Sokka.
What?
Humble Sokka.
Yeah. Sometimes not at all. Sometimes way too much, as we see in this episode. That humility does impress Piandao. It decides he will take Sokka on as a student. And by the way, this is maybe a good point to say. Piandao is voiced by Robert Patrick, who
I did not know that.
Yes, he's in a million very recognizable things. Yeah. T2, Terminator.
I see him. I've hung out with him at cons, and he's always cool because he's like always in like denim.
Yeah.
Top, bottom, always matching.
Like a motorcycle
jacket.
He owns
a Harley Davidson shop. I talked to him about motorcycles because I ride one of them. So I talked to him about certain things.
Made the Avatar connection?
I didn't know. I have something to tell him next time. Hey, man.
Yeah. Some of the wild card people who have voiced, who are at cons that we'll be at sometimes, who have voiced stuff in Avatar, it's like, Mick Foley. Hello.
He's the boulder. I know he's the boulder.
Yeah.
He definitely remembers that. Yeah, right. I would be afraid to bring that up to Robert Patrick. I feel I'm going to bring it up to him. You bring it up to him.
I'm going to go Piandao. Huh?
Not doing anything for you?
Piandao?
Yeah.
You recognize this character as Sifu Kisu.
I said Sifu Kisu. Do you know Sifu Kisu? He's a friend of mine.
Clearly right. Character design, right?
He's not a bad character, he's a good guy.
That's definitely 100%.
Yeah. Okay, so Sokka's getting his first lesson about thinking of the sword as a really long, sharp arm, an extension of his body. Meanwhile, the rest of the gang is off trying to come up with something to do, and they're really noticing the lack of planning, the lack of fantastic jokes, everything that's sort of missing while Sokka's gone, which I love. I think, like, thematically, this is, like, one of the cooler things about this episode, the idea of, like, this is an episode about Sokka trying to see, like, self-worth and see what he, like, brings to the table. The idea that, like, the people around you can see it in your absence. They know it. They can feel it. They might be much better at spotting, you know, your perceived worth than you are because you're in this, like, messed up headspace where you can't see it in yourself.
Well said.
Guess what? Zuko's not in this episode and no one said nothing. How about that? Can we just I don't want to sidetrack too much. I just want to throw it out there. You know,
there's not a bunch of people sitting around going like the whole day seems less, I don't know, moody. So then we go to the prison where Iroh, he's evolved now. He's doing pull-ups. He's hanging from the top of his cell with his legs. It's just so cool. Everything in this episode is so cool.
He's doing a lot of stuff. We don't even know how it's going. He has a lot of inner stories going on just to himself. He's just, he understands the Fire Nation like no one else. That's all I know. And
this is like, this is at once both like an Iroh we've never seen before, but also like this is kind of the Dragon of the West, man.
This is the Dragon of the West. I mean, people are playing checkers and this guy's not even playing chess. He's playing Pai Show. He's on another level of the game.
So Iroh's sort of his own trainer, getting himself whipped into shape, while Sokka is getting trained by Piandao. He learns he's not great at calligraphy, but he figures out his own way to do it.
Yes, he does.
He gets some sparring matches with the butler. Not great, but trying to figure out his own way to do it. Got to paint a waterfall landscape. Not great, as you'd expect. Figuring out his own way to do it, but we know how this is going.
Adds a rainbow in there.
That's right.
The sun has a little smiley face. I mean, it's got
very
some character
upbeat
to it.
Yeah.
He's got a style.
So it's definitely an Avatarverse take on the classic master training to the hubristic student montage, and a huge nod goes to all kinds of martial arts movies and shows we know that Mike and Brian love growing up. And so Master Piandao tries to school him in rock gardening to manipulate his surroundings and use them to his advantage. But that just leads Sokka to creating what actually looks like a pretty comfy kind of like lounge chair with some cushion and everything. I like
a moss snuggie. It's nice.
Yes.
And yet the next time Sokka fights his sparring partner, he does really well. Speaking of doing really well, we head to Iroh's cell only to find him doing push-ups until a guard comes by and an Iroh resumes his crazy old man routine. As we keep going back to Iroh, and I think it's all in one day. I mean, he's doing a lot for one day. He's doing a lot.
It also, like, I think we perceive it as like, he goes from not in shape to in unbelievable shape. But actually, it's just like, this is
what he's been doing the whole time.
He's just hiding it. Yeah. And you know, most
of us, more of a reveal. Yeah.
Most people work out for like an hour in the day. I mean, Uncle Iroh's working out all day long.
He's got time.
All day long.
He's got time.
So,
yeah.
And at prison workout, he's doing pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
Over at Camp Avatar, now everyone continues to feel Sokka's absence as bad map reading is happening and bad jokes are abound. Do our friends really miss us that much when we're not around? I think about that like, we missed Dante today. I don't know. Then we're back with the man himself, and we hear Pian Dao say to Sokka that he had a great first day of training.
You've had a good first day of training.
I have? But I thought I messed up every single thing we worked on.
You messed things up in a very special way. You are ready for a real sword.
Are you giving me one of yours?
No.
Much to his surprise, much to my surprise, much to, I think, everyone's surprise, realizing this was the day. Are you tired of boring, inconvenient day-to-day responsibilities like having to sign your own name on stuff? Do you wish there was an easier, much messier way to leave your mark? Then you need Sokka's Face Ink. Sokka's Face Ink lets you skip past uptight formalities and show the world you see things a little differently. Plus, you get all the health benefits of having pen ink all over your face. Whatever those are. Sokka's Face Ink. It only takes seconds to apply. May stain skin permanently. Not recommended for people under the age of 120.
Okay, so we find out that Sokka's going to be getting a sword.
A sword.
So Pian Dao continues his teachings even as Sokka is learning how to make his own sword. It is awesome. This is like a high level reality show that I would totally watch.
Yeah.
I would totally watch
that,
learning how to make the sword that they're going to be fighting. It's amazing.
I didn't know you get to make your own sword. It's great.
Yeah, the level of detail it gets into when we like eventually get to him actually making the sword, that he's like working a bellows and like shoveling coal. It's just like so much more specific feeling than I feel like many shows like this would do. Would be like, and then you get to make a sword.
It's
cool
in the water.
Sword reveal. Yeah,
it's in the water.
Because it's about seeing the effort and seeing what he has to go through to get this thing, that he really has to earn it. It's beautiful.
But he can't do any of that yet, right? Because he has a material that he wants to use, but it is back with the gang. When he comes back there, they are over the moon spirit to see him. It's just something I'm trying out, Jack. I'm just trying out the expression.
I mean,
over
sad.
The moon
really tough to hear,
I'm
but
so
it's
sorry.
Lovely.
Super
I mean,
sad. No, there's just, something beautiful it's there. bring a little bit of Yue back to every moment with us.
It is rough, buddy, every time I hear it.
I know. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said it, but they are over the moon spirit. Even Toph is excited. Toph blushes and pretends not to be excited.
Little Toph Sokka shipping there. Little Toph Sokka shipping moments happening there.
Yeah. The blush.
The blush.
It's very sweet. Sokka explains that he needs the team's help to retrieve this metal that he has in mind for the sword. And, of course, he means the meteor.
Great tie-in to the beginning of the show. I was impressed.
Yes.
Yeah,
great tie-in.
Cool.
I was like,
I kind of forgot about the meteor
out of nowhere for no reason.
Yeah.
But then, the sword.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Iroh, meanwhile, is becoming, again, this just very serious contender. If he wants to enroll in any MMA events, he's going to win. He's in great
shape
now.
Who's taking down that giant barrel chest?
My uncle is stacked. He's got the old man strength now. Old man strength. He'd probably run through the wall if he wanted to.
It's fantastic. Sokka, Toph, and Aang and Katara have rolled the meteor all the way up to Pian Dao's castle. And then we do see that kind of montage that you guys were talking about, the very detailed montage where you're seeing the melting down, the sort of smelting, the bellows. I'm just going to use words that
these
I
are
think
great words.
Have
I don't
something
know.
To do with metal,
priming,
metallurgy, galvanizing.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, galvanizing.
There's
yeah,
words. That sounds right.
Priming or like making it stronger.
Soldering.
For sure,
maybe?
That's a word. For sure, that's a word.
Thank you.
Stealing the steel.
Stealing.
Tempering.
Tempering.
That's a sword word.
Tempering.
It is happening.
It's all that metal
stuff. He's making his sword. It's beautiful. It's a very cool process. Finally, they're done. And Pian Dao presents Sokka with his sword, this beautiful speech about how great he is. What a perfect moment, right? No. Sokka refuses
why,
the sword.
Sokka,
Jack,
why?
Because he hasn't been honest. And he knows his true self hasn't fully earned this yet because he was lying. So he confesses to Pian Dao in front of his friends. He hasn't been totally honest. He's
why?
From the water tribe. He's from the water tribe. this does not seem good. Pian Dao pulls out his sword. They're facing off, swords drawn. But before we get to see what happens, we instead cut back to the prison. We hear that surly guard one more time, continuing to insult Uncle Iroh. Talks a bunch of trash, just not a nice guy. And Iroh leaves. He leaves Iroh with like a statement of like, look what you've become. And then we get to look at what he's become. We get the full reveal of super buff, super barrel-chested Iroh. Incredible. Like, what a transformation.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But what about Sokka in a sword fight? We go back. He's definitely holding his own against Pian Dao. He's using all of the creativity that we've seen him express through all these other tasks. We're seeing the, like, Sokka inventiveness during this fight. He's not going to fight him straight up. He's going to use the terrain. He's going to slice through the bamboo forest and try to whip him in the face with some bamboo.
Yeah.
He's jumping all over the place. He kicks sand in Pian Dao's face. Pian Dao's now, like, fighting with his eyes closed. Sokka's on the ground. Pian Dao's got the sword at the ready, but it turns out Pian Dao has no intention of hurting his disciple. Certainly not, and certainly not hurting the Avatar, who he's realized is there the whole time. Pian Dao knew all along. So why did he do this? Why did he take on Sokka? Why would he train someone from the Water Tribe?
The way of the sword doesn't belong to any one nation. Knowledge of the arts belongs to us all. Sokka, you must continue your training on your own. If you stay on this path, I know that one day you will become an even greater master than I am.
I do love just the sequence of him continuing to appreciate what Sokka is doing during the fight, because we still don't know. I feel like they really dance that line really nicely, because we don't really know, like, is he just kind of mildly psychotic? Like, is he, you know what I mean? Is he you're amazing at this as I kill you? Or is this truly still just the teacher?
Is it still
praising
the test?
Yeah, praising the student. I thought that was really cool.
Of course, for us 80s kids, you know, the Karate Kid, Mr. Miyagi thing does not escape us. The wax on, wax off, where, you know, the student is, he's telling the student what he's doing while he's doing it, which is very cool. Very, very cool.
But there are like some close calls. There is a moment where he like he's got the sword straight out. Sokka has to like full matrix under it. It's like,
right.
If you're you're pulling your punches extraordinarily well there.
I mean, you got to think in the history of the world, there's some master that was trying to do this to his people.
Oh, yeah.
And the people missed.
Like, and he knocked his people out. Like, you're so clever. Oh, God.
Yeah, well,
oh,
maybe. No.
I saw that playing out differently.
Train a little harder.
Yeah.
All right. So the team has already headed out when Pian Dao's butler, Fat. His name was Fat? I didn't catch his name.
Also, the actor's name is Chris Butler. That's kind of cool. The
voiced
by Chris Butler. I mean, that's something, right?
Voiced by Butler, whose name is Fat, runs out to give Sokka something from Pian Dao. And guess what, you guys? It's a Pai Show tile of the White Lotus, y'all. I told you, when people are playing checkers, Uncle Iroh is playing Pai Show on another level. We don't even know. We just have a feeling there's something going on.
Yeah, could you remind me where we're at with our knowledge of the White Lotus? Like, what how early is this in the introduction of?
We know about it. I mean, we've seen it
we
in
know
book
about
two.
It. They,
it's defined
book two, they
for
did
us.
It. Zuko found out about it in book two. In the Earth Kingdom, but we don't know to what degree.
We know that there's a loose network of people who believe in sort of a higher cause than whatever fight or whatever nation they're currently representing, that there's a sort of higher cause happening and that there are people in the White Lotus Society around, but we haven't talked about it or thought about it in a minute. So it's really cool that this happens.
If you look at Pan Dao's gate, there's a White Lotus, and that actually surrounds the Fire Nation sign. I didn't notice that.
Isn't
that
cool?
Go back and look at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is pretty cool. They don't know what that symbolizes, but we do. At least we know some of what it symbolizes. We don't know all of what it symbolizes. So they move on with their day. Top playing with some leftover meteor, and the gang happy to be reunited. And that's the end of the episode, y'all.
That's a good
end
one
of the episode.
Also, Toph plays with that meteorite. And she's making all these, she's earthbending all these different shapes.
Space Earth.
Thank you. Exactly right. She's space earthbending. And at one point, she makes what has got to be the splat, like the Nickelodeon
100%.
Logo. Right? Oh, at the time, it was like a splat. It was like a.
Yeah.
And she makes it, which I thought was very cool. So if that's an accidental Easter egg, it's a very, very shocking accident.
It's very cool.
Hybrids? Did we have...
hybrid,
a hybrid animal so. Heavy any hybrid episode? Animal. I can't think of any.
I don't even remember one hybrid animal in this episode.
Appa and Momo, we always know, but Appa I don't there. Think there's any, I don't think there's anything else. So, I mean, listen, we're in the Fire Nation. I expected it to be replete with new creatures and critters. So far, we haven't seen that many. So I'm hoping that it's going to beef up later in the season.
Hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see. Although we did see a cow that eats meat, which was a very fun moment in the headband. Yeah. Like a super scary
hippo.
Monster
hippo
cow.
Hippo or a cow?
It was a, oh, yeah, was it? It was a hippo. What was it?
Cow.
A horse hippo or
cow
something?
Cow hippo?
Cow hippo? I mean, we just talked it about was, this. I've already forgotten. Yeah.
We don't know.
John
it was
O'Brien
a
had to tell us what it
cow.
Was. Yeah.
He ate some meat, though. He ate some meat.
Yeah, that was scary. Okay, so let's talk about most valuable bending and non-bending. I mean, I feel like we can breeze through bending fairly
yeah,
quickly.
Yeah, I say, are you allowed to not give one? Because, like, this episode's not about you, benders, okay? Take a back seat for this one.
Yeah, but there was a meteor that almost
killed the town. No, they did save the village. No, I get that. I get that they saved the village. I get that.
So we could just throw one for a group bending because it was actually a group bending situation. It wasn't like, it was group bending.
Group bending.
One for the group for that.
Yeah, yeah. And
and
then...
also, the way they did it in a specific way that made Sokka feel left out and lonely did also then spark sort of our whole journey for the episode. So that was, I think, also valuable. Yeah.
Selfish ways. We're very valuable.
Selfish benders. They were not doing it to make any non-benders feel less than.
Yeah.
I also want to propose, is it possible that any of Iroh's training involves, like, I feel like just adding a little extra heat to your own muscles might be part of how he's able to train
I
so
think
hard.
He can,
do
I
so
don't
so
know about that, but I think he can burn fat. I think the fat burning, aspect, because he was a little, he had the fire belly, the tiger belly rocking for a while. But if there's, I don't know, you can check this out. There's some Fire Nation techniques if you can heat the body temperature up while working
some,
out. The calorie focusing. Burn is faster. Calorie burn.
Very
faster.
Risky. Very risky.
Very risky.
Yes, I had 120 degree temperature, but my love handles were nearly gone.
Mm-hmm.
I used to always do that when I wasn't feeling good. I'd go work out and like people were like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm gonna sweat it out.
I sweat more easily because I'm
How'd
running a huge
go?
Freeway. Yeah.
It worked. It always worked out well. I was always a firebender. Yeah. Sweat it out, you guys. Just sweat it out. You'll be fine. Sweat it out.
So I give the award to Iroh's abs. Yeah, that's my submission. But yeah, I guess if it's the group that saved the day without Sokka, that's fine too.
I mean, we don't know about these villagers. Didn't even see one villager. These guys just got saved. With unbeknownst to them, death was imminent.
They didn't
and then
know. Unsung
they all,
heroes.
Unsung heroes. They never they just live your life without knowing. You're fine. Yeah. You were this close to imminent death.
Yeah. All right, non-bending. Most valuable non-bending. Who gets it?
Is it Sokka just being honest?
Oh,
the moment of honesty.
Being humble? He would never have traded with Pian Dao if he hadn't been honest about that. I do like that a lot. Jack, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think we get sort of this episode sort of summarizes all the things that have made Sokka really valuable on this journey. We get to see expressions of his creativity, of his inventiveness, of this humility, of this honesty, sometimes brutally honest Sokka. So we get sort of, we get all of these things that he couldn't see in himself that made him so special. But I think like as a singular moment, I like that moment of honesty that launches the whole thing.
I love Sokka.
Yeah, he's very honest. It's almost surprisingly how honest he is in this situation. Because there's other parts where the gang is being, they steal things, steal some water, they steal some scrolls, they steal some clothes.
Yeah.
They did some things that were like not, which actually, as I thought about it,
you know, we tell you guys don't steal stuff, especially from Fire Nation people. Don't kids out there.
This is not just big PSA. Don't steal stuff.
But when I watch it again, it has a very kind of like Huck Finn, Tom Sawyer.
There's
the gang,
a little, you know,
little mischief. They're doing stuff and they're doing things. Yeah. But at the end of the day, honesty. A little honesty and yeah. humbleness will yeah. get him through.
Well, I think specifically with this, it's like he doesn't want to take this beautiful gift that he doesn't feel like he's earned. You know, it's this like he's receiving this beautiful cultural thing that Pian Dao is sharing with him. Yeah. And he wants to be honest about that and receive that gift as his true self. Yeah. And I think that's really beautiful.
Those are like little twin moments, right? Like him being humble and saying, I don't feel like I deserve to train with you. And then him saying, I don't feel like I deserve the sword. Those are beautiful moments. And yeah, I mean, I think like the idea of it's not an encouragement to feel bad about yourself, but right. I mean, I don't, you know, I like also cocky Sokka. Like I like when he's, yeah, yeah, you totally. Know, pretty, you know, sure of himself. He comes up with some great ideas because he feels empowered to do that because he knows how smart he is. But being in the place where sometimes when you are that low, like if you are open to someone you respect telling you that you're special, then you can receive that and you can sort of go from there and like find an organic way to like grow into that. I don't know. I liked it.
Yeah.
That was great.
And he's out there reproving it to himself too throughout this whole episode.
Yeah.
It's just all expressions of all of these things that make him special and he yeah. gets to experience them again. And yeah.
And in a perfect scenario, it won't make him insufferable.
I mean, we know how special Sokka is. There's got to be statues of Sokka in all four kingdoms and nations. There's got to be. There's got to be a Sokka. There's got to be a Sokka statue all over the place. He did so much. He did so much during the Great War to, you know, bring things back into balance.
I think there yeah. is, right? I think we see, yeah, huge, huge foreshadowing way later. Uh-huh. I think we just see some statues, right?
Massive, but yes. I love this episode. Jack, come on. You're the best.
Ah!
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jack DeSena.
I love this book club. I love getting to watch an episode and then come and chat with you guys about it. It feels so special.
Yes.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for doing it. And will you please, by the time this airs, your YouTube page will be very much out and splashy and
yes.
in the world. Will you tell everyone about that?
Yeah, my YouTube sketch channel, Chris and Jack. It's with my buddy Chris. We're gonna be releasing a ton in the new year, so you'll be seeing it if you see it.
Amazing, amazing sketches,
and you will see it.
I've been in a few. If you go back in the library, you'll see me in a few of them. But so smart, so funny, great Chris and Jack. You mean you got to check them out? They're
yeah,
great stuff.
This is exciting. This has given me the opportunity to try to weasel my way into one. So we'll see what happens.
Oh,
let's check in. And
you haven't got Barney in a Chris
Absolutely,
and Jack sketch?
Yes.
See if I've stuck in. It's a goal. Now it's a goal. It's a life goal.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in, for watching, and for celebrating Sokka's Master with us. This has been a blast.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Avatar Braving the Elements. Want more Avatar? Follow the official Avatar Braving the Elements account on TikTok at Avatar Official Podcast.
This podcast is hosted by Janet Varney and Dante Bosco. The theme song was composed and produced by Jeremy Zuckerman. Audio production and editing was provided by Zeke Rodriguez Thomas and MindJam Media. Avatar Braving the Elements was executive produced by Lynn Keston Sessler, produced by Lisa Summerscale Steeler with consulting producer Janet Varney, with production support from Kira Chow, and special thanks to Avatar Studios, Garrett Beltis, and Danielle Pretzfelder Demchik. Trademark, copyright, and phono record, 2023 Viacom International Incorporated, all rights reserved. This has been a Nickelodeon original podcast.